All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
This is exciting because, you know, I was anxious for a second Bill and Ted trailer. And so it's on the agenda. I'm excited.
Yeah, I know. That's one of those ones that you were constantly like, I'm on board, but I need more to really get more on board. And here it is. And here it is. So what's going on? Any, you have any breaking theater news or movie industry news to bring out?
I do. Okay. And it's one of those things like, I'm going to just tell it to you.
Okay. Give it to me. Hold on.
I'm gonna give it to you straight. Right. Sit down. Everybody listening, just sit down. Pull your car over to the side of the road. Gibble, take a break from whatever work you're not doing. Yeah.
If you're around people, stand up and say, I need this moment to myself.
I need the room. No. But seriously, what I want to do is tell you the news.
Okay.
And then we can decide two things.
Okay.
First of all, whether we believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, what it means.
Okay.
Okay. The news is, and I'm sure a lot of people saw this on the internet, but I confirmed it directly with my guy at Warner Brothers, that Tenet is being released on September 3rd, ready or not. So in other words, Warner Brothers and Christopher Nolan have now committed, we are opening Tenet, whether we have Los Angeles or not, whether we have New York City or not. So we have been saying on this show for the last few weeks, like, hey, just watch Los Angeles. And I kind of like got the mentality of like, we're not going to be showing movies till 21 because Los Angeles isn't going to be cleaned up till 21. So I was pretty depressed about the whole thing. And then we saw this news out there in the public that Tenet was opening on Labor Day weekend, which starts on September 3rd. So I called my guy and he said, yeah. And I think there are also some other, like, for example, I think everybody kind of is getting the idea that there may very well be some international release dates prior to domestic release dates. So, for example, I think that this news about Tenet lines right up with that thought process. I think the studios are increasingly going to say, hey, we're going to release movies. If your part of the world isn't ready, then we're just going to lose that revenue. But we can't. I think Warner Brothers, for whatever reason, was like absolutely not going to release Tenet anywhere except at theaters. And I think they also, for a reason I don't know, but I'm happy about, they also made the decision, we're just going to release it. You know, we might miss some of the bigger markets, but we're just going to release it. So there, it leads me to two questions. And I even said to the guy at Warner Brothers, a great guy named Mike, who I dealt with Bruce Blatt for years. I think I've even talked about Bruce on this show. Bruce was the guy who was always, he's a really old school film guy. And he was the kind of guy who he'd be cursing at you when you answered the phone. He would dial your number and start yelling at you. And so when you picked up the phone, he was in mid rant, you know, letting you know. And, one time I asked him for a favor and he called me and he said, call me back when you're sober. I don't know. Some people weren't, I love the guy. I could have worked with the guy forever, but we got this new guy, Mike, and I've been with Mike for about a year now and I've increasingly trust him. And I increasingly, you know, we got enough of a track record together. He hasn't really steered me wrong. Certainly never by his own, you know, sometimes Warner Brothers puts him in a bad spot. But he himself has never steered me wrong. And I said to him, do we believe this? Is this going to happen? Like, could this, you know, what's the difference between this and what, when you said it was going to be August and when you said it was going to be July and when you said it was going to be March? And he said, the difference is not March. It was never going to be March, but you know what I mean? He said, the difference is Warner Brothers has already come out and said internally to their teams, we know that we probably won't have Los Angeles in this release. And so with that being said, that gives me reason to believe, like, if Penn Cinema decides to be open, we may very well have this. Yeah. So that segues into my second question, which is, what does this mean? And the thing that my team and I are sort of working on right now is, what does this mean? So do we need to get our ducks in a row and be ready to open on Labor Day? Is that a smart move? You know, if Tenet is open, does that mean Unhinged is open? Spoiler alert, yes, it does. About 15 minutes after I got off the phone with Warner Brothers, I got an email from Unhinged saying, we're now releasing Unhinged on August 21st. To which I replied, yeah, right. But anyway, so are there other titles or is it just Tenet? If it's just Tenet, I'm not 100% sure that it makes sense to open. But on the other hand, how am I going to not open? You know what I mean? Like, there's just a lot of tricky, tricky questions.
So Comic-Con was this week.
Right.
It was Comic-Con at home. And this is one of the things I have on one of our news things is movies that were pushed back. We've got Antlers, St. Maud. Of course, Tenet was taken off of earlier this week. They took it off the schedule and they didn't give it a release date. They were like, no. And there's even rumors that No Time to Die will get pushed back to the summer of 2021.
Yeah.
Right. But following that up, as Comic-Con went on and more release stuff was talked about, studios started saying, basically, the rest of the world, for the most part, has got their stuff under control. And truth be had, we don't. And so they're just sitting on money they could be making. So in certain circumstances, they're going to release the movie in theaters in the rest of the world and go straight to on demand here, such as with Bill and Ted. It's getting released in theaters if the theaters are open, but otherwise it'll be on streaming. And I think some other stuff is going to go that way too.
I think something that 3 months ago, like let's say in June, so that was a month ago.
Yeah, 3 months ago. You had it right.
3 months ago last week. I think something that in June I would have said is totally impossible. And what that is I think that movie releases are going to go the way of like restaurants. So in other words, if you want to go out to a restaurant in Lancaster, you can, but you can't in some parts of Texas and some parts of Florida. Like they have restaurants shut down. Like, you know what I mean? So in other words, I think as crazy as this is, I think that some parts of the country will get new. I think the studios increasingly are just going to say like, hey, if you're open, well, you know, here's our movies. And I think you're right. They will take a loss. But they need that international gross, and that international gross is pretty much ready to go.
Yeah, and those people are really chomping at the bit for for something. Like they're more inclined to go out to the theater than current Americans are, I think.
Yeah,
just because they're in a better they've gotten a little bit further down the road.
Right. So let me ask you this. Let's segue away from release dates and movie stuff. And we'll keep you posted. I mean, Penn Cinema is going to be working on this week. We're going to run some numbers and really make sure that we can commit one way or another. Like, what is the right course of action here? But if I had to bet, I would say it probably looks like we're going to open our theaters on Labor Day. But anyway, let's segue from that to Comic-Con, because I feel like did you want to say anything about Comic-Con? Because I read something between the lines. I guess I'll just say what I want to say, and we'll see if you agree. I think I read between the lines that Comic-Con, which essentially happened virtually this year, became a really good example of something that cannot be replaced with Zoom calls.
Yes. Yeah. There are a lot of good and bad things about Comic-Con this year. And like, one of the bad things is how incredibly scattered it is. You know, there wasn't like a centralized place or website to come to get all of your Comic-Con stuff. And so basically, rather than invest a lot of money in this whole thing, all of these companies are like, well, we already have a YouTube channel or we already have a website. So they all just did their own thing and then just put like the little Comic-Con at Home logo on it. And it was all pre-recorded. So, you know, I watched the Star Trek Picard panel, and normally a panel is like 45 minutes to an hour or longer. This was 17 minutes and it felt like it was dragging. And there was not much spontaneity into it, and people were talking over top of each other, like in the Zoom call, like the timing wasn't right, you know, interrupting each other, and it was just kind of cringy, to be honest. I mean, I guess some things worked and some things didn't, but I think it really brought forth that Comic-Con needs the space, and they need you to be there, people to be there for the hype, and they need the structure of the schedule of the hall rooms. Like, I was reading that a lot of things, like for stuff, it was like, usually it would be, okay, you know that you know, Michael Bay is going to have a panel at 3. Well, he's not going to talk about Transformers at 12. He's going to talk about it at 3. And so, but with things at home, these companies were just popping out announcements any time of the day. And it was like, not really structured or not really, you didn't know when to look for the news or whatever, and since it wasn't centralized, you didn't know where to go. The other big thing is almost all of the movie production side of Comic-Con, which has become a large, large portion of the pop culture phenomenon, was not present. You know, television was there strong because Netflix and Hulu, right, and everything, but like movie production, because everything's on hold, was just non-existent. So there was, you know, I was like, oh, we're gonna have a ton of trailers, we're gonna have whatever. There was almost nothing. it was just dead news for movies, except for like, oh, we're pushing back, or we're going to streaming, or it's coming out in other countries, or whatever. Like, just the stuff we've been hearing for months and months. And it makes sense. Honestly, I'm kind of happy about that, because I really feel for the industry to survive well, they really needed to accept the fact that they were putting the pause button on and not try and force. Instead, I think it's better to say, okay, look, we hit pause, and then when we hit play, we're back into it, instead of being like, well, we'll just slowly trickle our stuff out, and then when things start going again, they have no backlog or anything to put out.
Right.
You know, it's like, right, that long, slow trail, you know, continues instead of coming out running once we get started. So, yeah, Comic-Con was weird. It was definitely a weird one. Definitely reinforced that it needs to be an actual place and thing. I mean, am I glad that they kind of did something anyway? It was better than nothing. But
yeah,
it's definitely not going to be the way they go. Plus, I don't think they made money, because they didn't sell. There were no tickets or anything. There was nothing stopping these companies from like doing these announcements whenever they want. On the flip side of this, I know this is tangenting a little bit, but E3 was canceled this year, and we're on the cusp of a new generation of video game systems, and the video game companies have been doing monthly, like 20-minute, like news briefings, and that have been way more successful than the hour and a half to 2 hour E3 production that they drop all that money in. It's like proving to be much better. So E3 is looking to be something that could become more obsolete than Comic-Con.
So, interesting.
Yeah, it's the opposite direction.
Huh.
Anyway.
All right. Speaking of outer space.
Oh, what? Segway. Tell me more.
I hope nobody got whiplash from that subtle
left turn.
So Comcast NBC, formerly known as Universal,
right,
is planning Tom Cruise's actor. Remember we talked about this a couple weeks ago? Tom Cruise is he's not making a space movie.
No.
He's making an actual movie filmed in outer space.
Right.
Which we both agreed was freaking awesome.
Yeah, it was super awesome.
And he's the perfect guy for the job.
Can you imagine working on that set? I mean, just like, you'd have to learn how to be an astronaut.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
So, no, I think you have to be an astronaut, right?
Yeah. You'd have to learn how to poop into a vacuum.
How much do you give me to apply for this job?
Man, I will give you $20.
Remember when you were little? Remember when, like, you were little and, like, you'd be standing around, like, with your idiot friend? And you're an idiot, too, because you're also, like, six, right? And you'd be like, and that was always, like, that was always, like, how every conversation started. Like, how much you give me if I jump over the back of that car, right?
See, I had that, but I also had the opposite effect. Was my buddy Josiah, he would always want to trade things for my stuff, and he'd be like, how much do you want for this? And then when I was like, oh, I don't want to trade it, he'd be like, oh, okay. Within 20 minutes, whatever it was in his mouth. Like, and I'd be like, what are you doing? Oh, I didn't realize. Do you want to trade now? I'd be like, yeah, I do. I don't want my toy that's been in your mouth.
I wonder if that guy took those skills and put them to use now as an adult.
I'll have to ask him.
What does he do for a living now?
He is the head of the department that writes laws for the gaming in Harrisburg.
He's a bureaucrat. That's perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. Yeah. So he's walking around Harrisburg licking a bunch of files.
Going, do you want this now?
Do you want this now? I was gonna make a joke, but it's not nearly as funny as your guy. But like what I was gonna say was like when somebody say how much you give me, like you're 6 years old, what do you have?
Right.
You know, you got that rock that we found last week.
Yeah.
You got that frog that we picked up this morning.
So maybe some trading cards.
Right. You got a pocket full of dirt, you know, that we got when we were making mud pies or whatever.
You've got the same stuff I do.
Right. All right. So anyway, NBC Comcast, formerly known as Universal, is planning Tom Cruise's space movie, and they're going to begin filming it after Mission Impossible 7 and 8 wrap.
So he's. Like,
I think that sounds like a good plan.
Right up, boom, onto the next thing.
You know, I wanted to. I had another piece of news. It's a little story about Penn Cinema.
Oh, never heard of it.
So, imagine if there was somebody that listened to the podcast and they're like, oh, there's an actual Penn Cinema theater somewhere.
I mean, you wouldn't know how many times. Wait, it's Penn Cinema and his name's Penn? let's move on.
So anyway, this was because it made me think of it when you said you were talking about Comic-Con and you talked about how studios have stopped production.
Yeah.
And also studios are not like necessarily attending the conventions and stuff like that, that even the virtual ones. Well, we booked a marketing screening, or it has a little bit fancier name, but we had a studio who paid me an undisclosed amount of money, a big amount of money, to rent out my entire Wilmington, Delaware theater, Penn Cinema Riverfront.
Wow.
And what they were doing, this was a private event. What they were doing was they were sending out invitations to moviegoers around the area. And then the director would come. Nobody, he wouldn't like make a speech or anything, but he would be there and like watch the movie with an audience to gauge their reaction. And then everybody who came had to like fill out a time or like an impression card and, you know, that kind of thing. And they were doing research on their movie. And this was supposed to be on Sunday, like yesterday. And they canceled it on Friday because now the official cancellation did not state a reason. But when I talked to a couple of the guys that we were coordinating, like the booth, like the technical side of it, they said there was a lot of pushback within the studio that people who work for the studio didn't want to travel. So, you know, increasingly, it's kind of like, I think that's the third time I said increasingly. I got to stop saying that.
You're increasingly using that word.
It's a very uppity thing to say. But more and more, more and more, not only are things not getting done, but if it involves people leaving their community, like, I just feel like there's a real hesitation. People don't want to. Like, you know your area, you know, like you and I are based in Lancaster County. We know what we feel comfortable with in Lancaster County. We're not necessarily keen to go to an event in Ohio where we don't really understand, like, is this area that we're going to taking it seriously? Are they all wearing masks or, right. You know, what's the risk factor? So I had an event that was canceled because people didn't want to travel. And I think that that's happening in the production side of Hollywood all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, speaking of Zack Snyder.
Yeah. I mean,
is this a real story? Are we still talking about the Zack Snyder cut?
Yeah, because it won't go away. Because now that it's now it's confirmed to be a real thing, people will never rest about anything ever again. You know, they'll always think if we push long enough and hard enough, it worked for the Snyder cut, you know?
Are they going to release Aquaman in black and white?
Start pushing for it.
I'm pushing, baby. I'm pushing. You, like, heard it here first, the Penn Cinema podcast.
Aquaman, black and white. We want it to happen. So Zack Snyder cut will not fall into the DC University, the DC Universe continuity for the movies. So basically, he came out and he had a non-Comic-Con panel thing, and yeah, and he was like, look, like, they moved on with their movies and their continuity, but my vision was for something different, so it's kind of in there, but it goes a different way. And so it's technically, like, you can't watch his version and think, well, this is the way it was supposed to be, and all the movies need to follow the things that happened in here, because they won't. They're going to follow what was in the original movie going forward. So if he has, like, Darkseid, if he has a different villain or whatever, like, it's not like they fought that villain in the continuity. It's like, think of it as another universe. Basically, he's just making up excuses so he can do whatever he wants. Also, right. Who cares? You know, it's DC movies. They're not good. So, you know.
Should we just, like, there's a DCU and a ZSU?
Zack Snyder Universe? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Or a ZDCU. Zack Snyder DC
right,
Universe.
Right,
yeah. So there's that. But, I mean, if you want to talk about things falling into place, like the way that Snyder Cut is just falling into place, then the Stan and Ollie filmmaker, John S. Baird, will direct a Tetris movie. Now, when I say there's a Tetris movie, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking how I pack my car when I go to the beach.
Right? Well, it's not actually, it's not like Battleship. You know, it's not like an adaptation of the game. The movie is actually about Hank Rogers, the man who managed to secure the Nintendo Game Boy rights to Tetris, which was a Russian video game.
Okay.
And how that changed video gaming, kind of. Because Tetris was the game that everybody played and everybody had.
Gotcha.
You know, it was not age restricted.
Right, right.
So
that approach kind of reminds me in a different kind of way of Saving Mr. Banks.
Yeah.
It's not really a story about Mary Poppins. It's more a story about sort of the guy behind it or the lady behind it or whatever. But in a way it is. And I don't know. Now that you tell me, like, I mean, John Baird, like, I like him.
Did you see Stan and Ollie?
Yeah.
It was good.
I liked Dope.
It. Yeah. Yeah. I really liked it. And man, 100%. They look just like him. It's crazy. So.
All right. So anyway, I mean, I'm on board.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. I'd watch Tetris. I bet you there's going to be a lot of disappointed. Maybe not, because like you said, it's not like it's a kid's game.
Right.
Where what I was going to say was there's going to be a lot of disappointed 12-year-old boys, but not really, because we all play, everybody plays Tetris or has played Tetris.
And I think they'll probably market it more of a, he's more of like an indie director. Like it'll come across that way.
Yeah.
It's not going to come across as a blockbuster or anything
like
that.
Right.
So, well, that about wraps us up for news this week. weirdly during Comic-Con, but let's move on to trailers.
Please.
Okay. Let's you want to start with your trailer of the week?
I do. 100% want to start with my trailer of the week. Bill and Ted Face the Music trailer number 2.
Oh.
All right. AKA a poor man's Wayne.
Yeah.
Wayne and Wayne's Garth.
World. Yeah. Now you are not on board with trailer 1.
I'm still not on board.
You're still not on board?
No. Nah.
Are you sure? Because they showed their daughters in this one.
Yeah.
Who are equally as dumb as they are. You mean the joke where they're like, when your wives thought that said that you should go to couples therapy, do you think this is what they meant? And it's them with both their wives? And he said, yeah, we're a couple of couples.
All right. Can we get real?
Serious.
Can we just... If we could just... Can I get real?
Okay.
All
right, I'm ready. For reals now. For reals.
David, I'm trying to bare my soul here.
Clearly.
Right? Enough of your shenanigans. Fooling around. I'm trying to get serious.
Okay.
Every week we get email from people asking us to please be more serious.
Be more serious.
For the love of God, quit fooling around, giggling, telling jokes.
I did not come here to laugh. I came here for serious business.
You poor bastard. All right. I'm gonna get real with
you.
This is what I do. I complain about a movie. I say how it's going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
I go watch it and laugh my ass off the whole time. Like, I know I'm going to complain about this movie. I know I'm going to end up watching it. And there's a pretty good chance, because I'm simple, that I will laugh hysterically and end up really enjoying this movie.
There's a lot of really bad jokes that are like, but it's kind of exactly what you'd expect. So right. I'm kind of like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I want from this. So
yeah.
I'm okay. I like the second trailer more than the first one.
All right. Walk us through that.
I'm at the second trailer of Bill and Ted, but.
Yeah. No, I agree. It was a better trailer than the first one, especially because it begins to tell you a little bit about what's the difference between this movie and the last movie. And like, oh, that's all right. You know,
when they find their daughters in hell, they're like, oh my gosh, are you guys all right? And they're like, well, we're dead. And they're like, but are you all right?
I wonder if that's how my kids feel.
I'm positive. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So the second trailer and final trailer of the week was called Centigrade. And this is a movie about a couple, a pregnant couple, driving on a rural road in Alaska. They get snowed in during a blizzard, and they get stuck in their car, like covered in snow. We're talking, like when they show the plow go by, it's like one of those places where the snow on either side is higher than the plow truck. And it's like, the girl's like, I want out. And the guy's like, don't break the windows. We'll just freeze out there anyway, so you might as well stay here. And then they kind of go crazy.
Whew.
How did you feel about this?
Aren't they going to suffocate?
I mean, maybe. I thought that too, but I was like, all right, I guess we're going to let that go.
Here's what I thought about this. I'll tell you what I thought.
Okay, what'd you think?
What I thought was, I think this movie, how do I put this the right way? I'm going to be really excited to watch this movie at home. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to go to a movie theater to see a claustrophobic movie.
Yeah.
Like my favorite theatrical movies are like they're in outer space or they're in the ocean or there's like exciting action sequences or wild and crazy stunts and stuff like that. I mean,
all
of course,
these things describe Moonstruck.
I'm not talking about dramas and comedies, right? You're immediately thinking of Moonstruck. But even Moonstruck, I mean, you know, there's
set changes and
just set changes. Yeah, you know. So this movie, like, all right, I'm sure it's gonna be a good movie, but I'll probably stumble across it one day on Netflix and watch it at home.
Right. This movie is gonna be like, I wouldn't be surprised if the theaters aren't open, it's just going to go straight to video on demand, one. But two, this movie reminds me of that movie, I don't remember the name, it was like not Shallow Water, but something, it was where the couple got left behind by the dive boat. You remember that
one? Yeah, vaguely, yeah.
And there was like Deep Waters or, I don't know, something like that. And the whole movie was just them floating for 2 hours and like dying. And this movie reminds me of that, where it's really intense and you only watch it once.
What was the movie where I want to say it was like maybe Sandra Bullock, where she was buried alive and like the whole movie was her trying to communicate to someone, and then at the end of the movie they get to her, but then it turns out in the very like closing like millisecond of the like the closing moment of the movie, it turns out that the grave they were digging up was not the one where she was buried.
Oh,
and, do you remember that?
I didn't see that one. That sounds intense.
It was
like the one really, right next to her.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, it was so good. It was amazing, but it was really claustrophobic. I mean, a lot of the movie was her in the, maybe it wasn't Sandra Bullock, but it was somebody like that. Maybe it was Anne Hathaway. I don't know, but it was a great movie.
She didn't Kill Bill her way out.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, Centigrade, I think there's nobody famous in it.
No,
I never heard of the director before.
I didn't recognize the name.
Yeah. So I feel like this might be one of those movies that is either like a really cool surprise and it's a lot of fun and great, or it could totally suck.
Yeah. And
which is probably what a lot of people say about Penn Cinema Podcast.
Every episode. This one could be great, right, or it could suck. We don't really know which direction it's going in. You know, not this week, at least.
All of the above.
Yeah. I would watch this movie. I'm not going to go out of my way, but I'd watch
it. Yeah. Right. All right. The movie review this week that we're reviewing is it's an interesting movie. It's called Four Rooms, and it was suggested to us by Top 10 Sarah or somebody else.
Top 10 Sarah. Now, when she found out we were doing this movie, she sent an email. She said, "Maybe Penn, don't watch this one with the family. Maybe right. make sure the girls aren't around." And she said, "David, lock the cat in the other room.
Right.
You don't want to expose the cat to this." So, and within the first 10 minutes, I saw why.
Now, well, okay.
I mean, I understand where she was coming from, not right. knowing how we would react, but right. it was fine. I got something to tell you. But first, I want to know what you thought about this movie.
I loved it.
Really?
Yes. And I have all kinds of caveats, but if you want just a straight, short answer, I loved it. I really enjoyed watching it. And I recommended it to a couple of my friends who like quirky movies.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You want me to explain myself or no?
Please do.
Yeah.
Please do.
To me, this felt like an R-rated, almost like a labor of love is the wrong word, sketch. It felt like a comedy sketch. Everything about it was so funny and quirky. And I think if I remember correctly, one of Sarah's really sort of underlying questions was, does it hold up? Like, she remembered really loving it and really thinking it was hilarious, but does it, you know, right. does it actually hold up?
Right.
And I think that as a movie, like, no, it's terrible. But for an hour and a half of really interesting photography, really interesting cinematography, kind of funny storytelling. I'll tell you what sealed the deal for me. I was enjoying the whole thing, and I was liking it, and I was liking it, and I was liking it. And then the way the movie ends, the last 15 seconds, I was like, perfect. Because I'm not going to say what happened in case anybody's listening. Like, the Mystery Gobble, you would enjoy this movie. But I don't want to, I'm not going to give it away. But I'm just going to say, the movie comes to a sudden and complete stop. Like, you're watching the movie, and then all of a sudden, the credits are rolling, right? Right? With a clean cut and a whack.
Whack.
And I just thought that was so perfect, because the main character, the bellboy, he's getting shit on and pushed around and abused, you know. And boy, that Tim Roth, he can act. Like, that was a performance. But what this movie really reminded me of, and I just thought it was, I thought the movie was fun. I'm not saying it was like, I'm not saying it was a great movie or whatever, but I'm saying it was fun. And it felt like Tarantino made it. And I know he was only one of the directors or whatever, but I pictured him and Robert Rodriguez just making it because they sort of loved it. And it reminded me of, in 2007, do you remember the Double Feet Grindhouse? And it reminded me a lot of that. Over the top, ridiculous. Grindhouse wasn't especially great, but it was a lot of fun, you know, and we enjoyed it. We had a good time watching it and stuff. So this, it felt more like a comedy bit. I don't know. I took the whole thing as a comedy bit, and I thought it worked.
Interesting. I, on the other hand, attempted to watch this movie twice, and both times I couldn't get past the first story before I turned it off. And I was just like, I don't have the patience for this right now. So I did not finish it. I could not handle the acting, the bellhop and stuff. Like, I was like, this probably gets better later. There's probably like more humor in it. I'm just not in the right mindset. I told you earlier, the air conditioning wasn't working. I was hot and miserable.
Yeah.
But, I did not make it through this film. And that doesn't happen very often.
The premise and the structure of this movie is, the movie's called Four Rooms, and it's about a bellhop. And he, on this particular night, he's left alone in this kind of quirky old school Hollywood hotel. And he's left alone, and he ends up having to deal with four different rooms. Right. And each room sort of is a chapter of the movie. So the movie's like, it has four parts. And the first room is these witches. And then the second room is this very strange sort of hostage guy with the guy from Sopranos. And the third room has these little kids that he has to babysit. And the fourth room is basically a throwback to old school Hollywood, starring Quentin Tarantino in this. That's why it felt like a sketch, because to me it felt like there was four sketches that were tied together, and each sketch was directed by a different director. So
right.
Allison Anders directed one, Alexander Rockwell directed one, Robert Rodriguez, and then Quentin Tarantino directed the last one. Chuck Jones directed the animated sequence, which opened the movie, which I thought was absolutely brilliant. It reminded me of the opening to Christmas Vacation. I thought that in and of itself was really...
Or Pink Panther.
Sort of entertaining. Did he do Pink Panther?
Reminded me of Pink Panther.
You're saying it reminded you of Pink Panther. But anyway, so you have all these sort of things going on. And I will say that the first chapter, which is the one that you watched, was by far the weakest one.
Okay.
And it was the worst one. Like I don't know, she had like beams shooting out of her eyes. And I mean, whatever. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it, but I'm saying it wasn't. The other three were worlds better than the first one.
It was a product. It was one of those things that was such a product of its time.
Right.
I was like, I don't know if I can handle this product of this time. Like, I don't know if I'm in the right place to understand this or relate to it. So I didn't finish it, but I did give it a good shot twice.
I think you gave up too soon.
Probably. I will openly admit that.
If
I wasn't sweating and gross the whole time, I might have lasted longer. So,
if you ever want to give it another shot, but you don't want to watch the whole movie, watch the fourth chapter.
Okay.
It's a riot.
Maybe I'll just do that. I think I still have the I think the rental's still good. So
yeah, if you still have the rental, tune in and watch the last chapter. It's the one that has Tarantino, and I hate watching him on screen because I think you know how much I directors just stay out, like the right. Stan Lee thing. I don't like that.
Well, what about Taika Waititi? He's good on screen.
Yeah. All right. I also like I did a little bit of research. Because I was really interested in the backstory on this movie.
Okay.
And there's a bunch of interesting things. Like, for example, Bruce Willis, who is frequently in Tarantino movies, Bruce Willis is in the fourth chapter, but is not listed in the credits.
What?
But his hairstylist is.
What?
So he's not. Willis is not listed in the credits, but the guy who did his hair is listed.
That's crazy.
During the credits, if you remember, this is what first triggered me to like get online and look at some stuff while I was watching the movie. The opening sequence,
Yeah. You
know how they have the Band Apart production logo,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's from the Reservoir Dogs. In that logo, one member of the Band Apart rips off his black suit and turns into the bellboy. And the guy that did that, sure enough, is Mr. Orange, played by none other than Tim Roth, who becomes Ted the Bellhop. Like, it's just all those, like, there's a lot of just sort of fun connections, I think, throughout the movie. I thought it was funny. I don't know. It was completely ridiculous, but it did it for me. It's short. It's an hour and a half. Like,
I gotta, who cares? I mean, I'll try one more time.
All right. If you don't want to watch the whole thing, watch chapter 4.
Okay.
You'll thank me.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to listener notes, feedback, questions, answers, and suggestions.
Joel Codes got me fired up. I think this is the second week in a row that he irritated me again.
Goal!
Did you see the ridiculous headline that he tried to make us read?
Yeah.
I will not. I will not be pushed around by Joel Codes.
I saw it. It was like... Apple's doubling down because Tom Cruise's Greyhound did so incredibly well on Apple streaming. But I'm like, so what does that mean? Three people watched it?
Right. This story, this headline is an absolute red herring. It's a non-story. It's the same headline as when Onward made $90 million. You know what I mean? Like, okay, congratulations. Everybody's stuck at home. Streaming is you could put anything on streaming and break records.
Yeah.
Right. But the thing that irritated me the most, the reason why I feel most betrayed, I feel betrayed, David.
By Joel Codes?
No. I was irritated.
Oh, you're irritated by Joel Codes.
Because I'm starting to think that Joel Codes is finding headlines to get me fired up and then sending them.
I'm starting to think
this shit is on purpose. No, what offended me, what made me feel betrayed on a much deeper level, because I love Joel Codes and I know that he's in our corner. I think he's just poking fun at me.
Probably.
I used to think... That means past tense.
Uh-oh.
That means I no longer think.
Does this mean that you learned?
I used to think that Tom Hanks was also in our corner.
Oh, but he's not.
I used to think that Tom Hanks was a theatrical guy. Mm. Nah, brah.
Nah, brah. You know what corner he is on?
Making money. Yeah.
Yep.
Dirty bastard. I hate when people make all their decisions based on the exact same criteria that I make my decisions on.
They're so supposed offensive. To be better than this.
right, exactly. He's supposed to be better than that.
Yeah, come on. That's why he has all the money, so he doesn't have to think about it.
Right, jerk. All right, so I want to also thank Top 10 Sarah, who wrote in and encouraged me. And I listened to her, and I appreciate it because she's absolutely right. She wrote in and said, don't give up on the third season of Dark.
Yeah.
I think I was on here a couple weeks ago saying, well, I'm kind of bogged down. It's the same thing every episode. She's absolutely right, and I'm back into it. And I think I have one more episode to go, and I'm back to loving it. So if you're out there and you're looking for a show that you like a really good, dark science fiction, hard to follow, like a lot of, you know, storylines, like in a fun way, you know what I mean? Like you're like, sometimes I have to pause it and be like, who was that guy? What just happened? And I've definitely like rewound it to, you know, see it over again to try to keep up. But anyway, so yeah, so season three of Dark, I'm back on it. And thanks to Sarah for writing in about that.
All right. My next one, it comes with a little bone to pick.
Oh.
At the Ketchum household.
Listeners are fired up this week.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. So one Marley writes in and she says.
Marley Bear.
Yeah. She's like, hey, you guys reminded me of the scene in Bird Box where the kids get names and all this stuff. And she's like, check this out. Watch this scene. So I checked it out. Is she over there?
No. I was looking. Sorry.
Yeah. She's like, check out this scene. It was, you reminded me of it. But here's the thing. She opened it up. She said, Dad and DBM.
DBM, David Birmingham Moulton.
Right.
And David Bird Box Moulton.
David Bird Box Moulton. And I was like, look, if we're going to get Marlazy about things here. And I was proud of the Marlazy thing. I was like,
I
here we come.
I see how proud you are of that.
I rolled in with the perfect cut, and I didn't get any response from you, from her. They just let it, they were like, whatever. And I was like, what?
What?
So, I mean, I thought that was a pretty big, that was like monumental, groundbreaking stuff. But no.
You were wrong.
Have you guys used that before?
Marlazy?
Yeah. Are you getting Marlazy about it?
No, never. First, for two reasons. First of all, because it's not as funny as you think it is.
It's pretty funny for me.
But mostly because Marley is the least laziest person you've ever met.
That just makes it more funny.
All right. That's fair.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. So Marley wrote in and you corrected her.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's calling me DBM, and I'm like, DBM. Why don't we go by my old high school nickname, DMX?
DMX. That's the detail that me and Marley have been enjoying all week.
Yeah. And not DMX the rapper. We're talking David Moulton. Extreme!
That's awesome. Yeah, so yeah. DMX was was that in the same era where – was that in the same era where you would wear a suit and bring a briefcase to high school?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, everyone called teachers. Everyone called me DMX. I would sign my homework DMX. Like, no big deal. It was all cool. Awesome. Yeah.
I think that you should be producing.
Producing what? Just in general?
No. You should be producing a picture of DMX, suit, briefcase, circa 19, what would this be, 1995?
We're talking, yeah, like
98, 99?
Yeah. I might be able to find something. My graduation photo is me in a naval uniform. Or no, my junior year photo is me in a naval uniform.
From your time in the service?
Yeah. I just had a naval uniform and I wore it.
I wish that we had gone to high school together.
Would have been crazy. God. It would have been so much fun. So, speaking of someone who did go to high school with me.
Speaking of someone who is completely off their rocker. Chris Hall Productions writes in, and throw his shade.
Yeah, man. Hard.
Although, I will say, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I believe this was none other than
sarcasm. yeah.
So Chris writes in a very sarcastic note, but what's great about it is he never broke character. So the note says something along the lines of like, you guys are crazy. All right, this is how I choose to read it.
All right. Wait, is this a dramatic reading with Pen?
Yes. Yes. Okay. This is this week's episode of a dramatic reading
with Pen.
Chris Hall Productions writes in the following. You guys are crazy. Monster Hunter is going to be awesome. The trailer will definitely be released with New Mutants when it totally, definitely, positively, unreservedly comes to theater.
That's
P.S. The show is awesome. I love you forever. Yeah. Love, Chris.
Your number one fan.
Your number one fan behind Marley Bear, Chris.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's pretty much exactly how it came across.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a guy. What a guy. So that's our info for this week. That's our listener stuff.
You know what's funny about his note? There's two things that took me that made that funny.
Okay.
Well, three things.
Okay.
First of all, the note itself just cracked me up. But first of all, I completely forgot about Monster Hunter. Which, that fact in and of itself makes Chris Hall's note even funnier. Right?
Did you go look at the trailer? You're like, what's this Monster Hunter thing?
Right, exactly. And then second of all, I was waiting for the elevator in the theater the other day, and that's where we keep all our posters, is in that little sort of whatever you call it. And I looked down, and there's a poster for New Mutants. And I was like, oh my God, this movie is like so totally, definitely coming to theaters.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Hey, they're one of the few movies that had a panel at Comic-Con.
Which in it tells you yet again how desperate and pathetic this movie is going to be.
Right. I know. That's what I'm saying. If we wind up eating our words on this movie, I'm not even worried. We're not going to eat our words on this movie. It's going to be horrible.
I feel like, and we probably won't, but I feel like we should have a private screening of this with our friends, the listeners, and just freaking scream at the screen the whole time.
Oh, man, that would be fun. That would be fun.
All right, David, it's hot in your apartment over there.
It's so hot over here. I have the AC off during this, so it's just getting hotter as we're talking. I know, right? So, look, we enjoy all types of responses. So if you want to talk to us about whatever, definitely hit us up at podcast@penncinema.com, and we'll respond on the show. So let's move on to, what are you reading? What are you watching? What are you doing this week? What's got your attention? What's keeping your attention? What's going on?
Well, I mentioned earlier that I'm watching season 3 of Dark.
Uh-huh.
And I think, I forget if it was you or one of our listeners, but somebody turned me on to Perry Mason, the new Perry Mason on HBO.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it and someone else did too. Someone wrote in about it.
I gotta tell you, I'm loving it.
Yeah?
It's not like, I don't know, it's simple, like in a way.
Yeah.
Like it's just a straightforward murder mystery. There's some subplots and some drama and character building and that kind of stuff. Wait, what did you call it? World building. And it's kind of cool, but to me, it's kind of like comfort food. Like, and yeah. the other thing that's interesting about it is it's a little bit old school because they're releasing a new episode every Sunday night.
Yeah.
Which, when was the last time you watched a show where you had to watch it for an hour and then wait a week? You know, it's kind of nostalgic.
Well, that's HBO does that, man. Game of Thrones.
Yeah. But it's been a year or two since I've been hooked on an HBO show.
Right. Now, unfortunately, I fell off because I keep forgetting about it.
Yeah,
but
right.
Generally, Sunday nights I'm like editing the show and stuff anyway. So I'm busy. So I keep forgetting about it to catch up. So I am really behind, but what I've seen of this show, I very, very much enjoyed.
Well, I strongly recommend going back and watching it. And if you're into sports, you've probably already watched The Last Dance, which is the Michael Jordan documentary. Mm. And I would not recommend it to you if you're not into basketball, because it is pretty much all basketball. But I will just report, like, to you, DMX.
This just in.
I will report to you that it is a really well done, maybe the best well done documentary. Like, it captures so many subplots and twists, and it's just an incredibly well done. I mean, it's a 10-part documentary about the last year of Jordan's championship run. And the way they set the scene, I mean, they're taking hours and hours and hours to do it. And the way they sort of go back in time and compare so that when you see something that happened in 1998 and they scroll back to something in 1993 that ended up being really relevant to that, it's just really well done. It's fascinating if you're a basketball fan, if you're a Jordan fan, but also it's an incredibly well done documentary. So
I've actually heard some really good stuff about it.
It's brilliant. And Michael Jordan, now this is not the place for that, but I love to have the conversation about like the sports Mount Rushmore. You have like Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, and then a lot of people put Babe Ruth up there. But then anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked.
I'm definitely the type of person. I'm the person that you should have that conversation.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I could talk for hours about, you know, Muggsy Bugs.
Sporty stuff.
Sporty
what
stuff.
Are you watching? You're watching Nada.
Well, okay, here's the thing.
I never even heard of that show.
Well, it's new.
Yeah.
So I didn't watch a whole lot because, like I said before, it's fixed now, but no, my AC was not performing. So my living room, horrible place to be. So I spent a lot of time in my bedroom this week. So I'm still finishing up Queen of Shadows, which is the Sarah J. Maas book, which I'm reading for a book club. And I played a lot of Paper Mario, the Origami King, so on my Switch. So I'm enjoying it. It's definitely like a family game. It's not very hard or anything, but it's fun. I'm having a good time. it filled the space of like what I needed something to do while I was sitting in the bedroom waiting for the heat to go away. So
nice.
It's fine. But
all right.
What's that?
Well, what do you want to do? What do you want to do next week here? We have, we were talking a lot about Tenet.
Right.
And we both love Christopher Nolan.
Right.
So you had the idea you want to do Interstellar.
I would love to do Interstellar.
Yeah. So I think I made the comment to you. I have not seen Interstellar since it came out.
Yeah. That's crazy. And Interstellar is on my top 10.
I know. I remember you said that. And I don't think I've seen it since it came out. I remember that I loved it. So I think that's a great idea. And we'll celebrate the upcoming arrival of Tenet by screening Interstellar this week.
Nice. Awesome. I'm super on board. You know, space, Matthew McConaughey, my girl Anne Hathaway. It's got it all going on. I'm super ready.
Love it.
I'm super ready. All right. So once again, if you guys want to get in touch with the show, send us letters, comments, questions, answers. We need the answers. Whatever
Please.
You want. Podcast@pensinema.com. That's the way to do it. That's where you should go. Of course, the number one way you can help us out, throw your mask on, head outside, just be like, hey, friends, have you heard about the Penn Cinema podcast? Just spread the word of mouth. That's the way to go. So there you have it. Once again, for the Penn Cinema podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care and
party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.